The enviable position right now of actually having more students enrolled than we projected for, which means there should be an increase in the revenue that comes into the school district. It's not been finalized at this point, so we're still making some adjustments to that, and we're being very conservative in our figures because we would rather err on the side of having some money left over than erring on the side of not having enough money before it's all said and done.
During an open commenting period, board members were alerted of the unusually high number of Nome students who have enrolled in Sitka's Mount Edgecombe boarding school this year. Gass says the board decided to solicit feedback through a planned survey on why this might be the case.
In the past, you know, we always are going to lose some students to Mount Edgecombe, but we've never, that I know of, have lost double-digit students to that particular school. And so I think it's a good idea to find out exactly what the reasons might be. It may have something to do with our school district. It may have nothing to do with that. And as Barb said, it may have something to do with the with the programs that they offer there. But we'd like to find that out to make sure if we're missing something that we can address it.
Board members also discussed progress on the Anvil City Science Academy renovation. According to Gass, there's been a slight delay on earlier plans stemming from unanticipated construction requirements.
We started realizing that this is an older building and some of the walls that we wanted to tear down had asbestos in them. And so you have to get a special asbestos abatement team to come in, and you don't really want to do that when you've got students in the building. And so we're looking to move ahead with some of the office renovation and the classroom renovations as separate projects instead of it all being just one big project, doing it in phases.
In a letter to board members, Principal Todd Heidman noted that ACSA was noted one of just 31 schools in Alaska ranked in the highest performing category after state evaluations. Gass says that in general across the district, there's a lot to commend.
Well, you know, I just think it's important for the community to know that there's a lot of good things that are happening in Nome Public Schools and that our kids are involved in many different things and that we're real proud of our kids and their successes, whether it be the volleyball team or, as Paula Davis indicated, the academics or some of the other projects that are going on in the school. Our kids are involved in a lot of different things, and it's kind of nice to brag on them a little bit because the community oftentimes, you know, they only hear when there's challenges in the school district. They always don't hear about all the good stuff that's going on.
Today, the Nanook Music students are hosting their holiday dessert fundraiser in the elementary school commons starting at 7 p.m. And this weekend, Nome Belts High School will play host to the Northern Conference Wrestling Tournament starting Friday evening and lasting through Saturday. And on Monday, the Nome Chamber of Commerce released the results of a survey on scheduling changes to Alaska Airlines flights in and out of Nome. Earlier this year, the airline reduced its daily service to Anchorage, flying twice instead of three times during weekdays. According to Barbara Nichols, executive director of Nome's Chamber of Commerce, the survey responses made it clear that schedule changes hinders people's ability to easily travel to Anchorage.
The two biggest things that showed up in this survey, besides inconvenience, was the extra dollars that organizations as well as individuals were having to pay to overnight for lodging because they cannot get in there as timely as before.
Nichols said that Alaska Airlines representatives have been very receptive since soliciting feedback on the changes at a public meeting in Nome during October. Over 200 people took the survey and offered comments. The next step, says Nichols, is getting all the information back to them so they can decide how to move forward. The Nome Chamber of Commerce is hopeful the survey results will lead to a flight schedule that's better for residents and businesses. The chamber also announced it is partnering with the Bering Straits Foundation on a recent grant meant to reduce energy costs for small businesses in the region. BSF was rewarded $200,000 to conduct audits for up to 44 businesses and to make energy-saving recommendations and improvements. A virus with a 10% human fatality rate is on the rise, and researchers are studying its prevalence in Alaska. The Center for Disease Control recently published a study on the Powassan virus in the western United States and Siberia. The virus is usually found in the eastern U.S. and Canada, but since the 1950s, a growing number of isolated cases have been reported in the West. And in the past two decades, diagnoses have more than doubled, catching the attention of the medical community nationwide. This recent study intended to map the range of this virus in the West. To do that, researchers tested wild mammals of the region. Animals host the virus, and ticks transmit the contagion. It spreads by a tick biting an infected animal and later a subsequent tick biting that same animal and becoming infected, continuing the cycle. Eleanor Deerdorf, postdoctoral researcher at the University of New Mexico and lead writer on the study, said to plot the virus, scientists collected fluid samples from 600 animals across Alaska, Siberia, and New Mexico.
Pretty much everything we could get our hands on, all kinds of different animals. There were voles, there were mice, there were squirrels.
What they found is that 6% of the Myotis voles in South Central Alaska and Siberia contain antibodies to the virus. A closely related vole in southeastern Alaska also showed reactivity, and in New Mexico, mice carry these antibodies. All these animals displayed signs of having been infected, which means, Deerdorf says, if each individual animal of these species can carry this virus, then from New Mexico all the way through the western U.S., across Alaska and into Siberia, live populations of potential hosts for perpetuating this infection. Deerdorf says at this point researchers cannot tell if the virus's range is spreading, and if it is, if that expansion is due to climate change.
If it is spreading, then it will most likely be as tick range expands. And that could well be influenced by climate change. But this study is not robust enough to make any kind of conclusions about spread.
Researchers are currently mapping the genetic sequence of the collected antibodies. This data will reveal if the infection is indeed Powassan virus or if it is an undocumented virus. Either situation elicits separate questions and will lead scientists down different paths.
If this is a known virus, then what does it mean that we're finding it in these animals in these locations? If this is a new virus, then we have to completely map out the transmission cycle of a brand new virus.
In the meantime, Alaskans should take precautions against tick bites. Symptoms of Powassan virus include muscle aches, headache, fever, and encephalitis, or inflammation of the brain. 10% of cases result in death. If you develop a fever a week to a month after a bite, seek medical attention. And a look at the price of gold in New York at this hour. Gold is up $16.90 an ounce to $1,242.20 an ounce. Silver is up 47 cents an ounce to $19.75 an ounce. Zinc is at 84 cents a pound. It is unofficially 30 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.